Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording now. We talked about Rasul is messenger, Nabi is prophet. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. And we get a messenger. If the Quran disappears, then Allah would bring us a messenger with a new book. But if the Quran is still around, then Allah with new book. But if the Quran is still around, then but people are not taking it seriously, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a what? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a what? If the Quran is present but people are not taking it seriously, then Allah will send a what? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a prophet. And the Prophet's job was to bring people back to Islam. Back to Islam. Like make people take Islam what? Seriously. Make people take Islam what?
Seriously.
Okay. Now, when Adam came down from heaven, he had the heavenly values. What are the heavenly values? Like generosity, kindness. So, generosity, kindness, what else?
Belief in Allah.
What else? Fairness, what else? Honesty, what else? Wish for others what you wish for yourself. Got it? These are all what?
Values.
Righteous values from heaven. Okay? Then what happens after that? That Satan's come and bring down people into corruption. Satans are human Satans and jinn Satans. Shayateen are not only jinn shayateen. Humans are shayateen. You know how humans are shayateen? Are the ones who encourage, do the same thing as the jinn shayateen do. If we say, I'm going to draw a chart on the board. If we say that this is time chart. So this is time against righteousness. Against righteousness. So it is righteousness. It is time against righteousness. So at the beginning of time, and these are heavenly values. Heavenly values don't change, right? Heavenly values don't change, or do they? These are heavenly values. Or we can write it here. Heavenly values. Heavenly values are right here. This is when Adam was sent. So when Adam was sent, value...
Wasn't it spelled with one S and no E? No S or E?
Where's that?
Was sent? Oh, that was...
Yeah. When Adam was sent down, he was sent with the moral values of heaven. Then what happens? After Adam is gone, what happens? The values of humans, they go below zero. They go down here, okay, which is basically corrupt. This is corruption. So this would be corruption. Corruption. So it's right here. This is the point of corruption. So human values decline with time. Human values decline with time and get into what? Get into corruption. Get into what? Huh? Get into corruption. So human values would decline into corruption. At this point, when it's very corrupt, Allah would send what? Prophet. Good. Allah would send prophet. And the first prophet was Prophet Shir.
She?
Yeah, she's. Okay. Then, what do the prophet do? Prophet communicates with heaven. Prophet what?
Communicates
with heaven. So there is communication. So the prophet lifts the values on earth back to the heavenly values. Sorry. Back into the heavenly values. This is up, here is down, because of shaitan, Satan's, it's down because of Satan's work of Satan's, okay, then it goes up, work of prophets. So, by the way, the first prophet's called Sheath. Sheath. Not Sheath. 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 So, work of Satan's life, moral values decline. Work of prophet is what? Give it up.
Increase.
Yes. Now, the prophet, does it increase? Because the prophet communicates with heaven. So, connects. The prophet connects earth with heavens. So right here, prophet connects earth with heavens. So the prophet will connect earth with heavens. How? Who connects them? Who connects earth with heaven? Prophet. How? How? Exactly. Exactly. He communicates through revelation, through angel Jibreel. You got it? Through angel Jibreel. You're doing something else. Okay. Angel Jibreel. So now, angel Jibreel and communication with the prophet, it raises, connects earth with heavens through revelation by angel Jibreel. So now what happens? Go ahead.
You forgot the U and V
in So now what happens? It's like the prophet lifts up life on earth to go up to back into the heavenly valleys. Okay, the earthly valleys. Corruption. So now, people, work of shaitan comes back brings people down. Work of a prophet, work of shaitan, work of a prophet, work of shaitan, work of a prophet, work of shaitan, work of a prophet, work of shaitan. I say the other way. Okay? Until there was that time where here no more prophets, no more. So this one would be work of Prophet Muhammad. This would be work of Prophet Muhammad. So it's right here, work of Prophet Muhammad. And right here, Prophet Muhammad, the last messenger. So here is work of Prophet Muhammad. Okay, then what happens after Prophet Muhammad? Do we get any more communication between heavens and earth? No. We decline until we reach to the day of judgment. The last messenger. So, okay. Then, we go back to the day of, we go back here, so here is the day of judgment. So you can see what is going on here. So it is the prophets that communicate heavens with earth. And when heavens and earth communicate together, what happens? What happens when earth and heavens communicate together? Yes. The prophet will bring up, the prophet, the heaven will bring up the valleys of the earth into heaven, right? Okay, any questions about that? Questions? So, what declines? What declines the values on earth to the corruption? What corrupts the values on earth? Yes, work of Shaitan. So, right here, okay, reform. And right here, corrupt. So, reforming corruption. So, the prophets do reform, the Satans do corruption. If a human is causing corruption, then that human is like the Satans. That's why we call them human Satans. Got it? Now, in the very last communication, guess the very last communication between heavens and earth, which was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a hug.
A hug?
Yes, Angel Jibril hugged the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so tightly he was about to break his bones.
Squeeze.
Hugged and squeezed.
Squeeze.
Yeah. The question is, this hug represents what? Represents the relationship, represents the communication between earth and heaven. So it's an earthly being is hugging a heavenly being. So when Angel Jibril came down, he hugged Prophet Muhammad so painfully that his bones were about to break. This hug represents the communication between heavens and earth. So now you understand, if somebody tells you, why did Angel Jibril hug Prophet Muhammad? It's because of what? That is the beginning of the communication between earth and heaven. So the earth lifts up. I'm sorry, the heaven lifts up the earth. Got it? So it lifts up. So if somebody says, why is this hug? It's because it's the communication between heavens and earth. If somebody says that, why read in the names of Allah? Use the names of Allah to read. Why? Because you need to wear the glasses of Iqra to read life. What happens to you when you read the glasses of Iqra in the name of your Lord?
The glasses?
Yes. This is a metaphor. What happens when you wear these glasses? Then you see the right things as right, and you see the wrong things as
wrong.
Wrong, right? Okay. Got that? You see the right things as right, you see the wrong things as wrong. This what happens when you put the righteous glasses of Iqra on your eyes. Okay? Then, why is the pain? What do you think, why is the pain? So right here, you pull it. Heavens, during communication between heavens and earth, heaven will lift earth up. Heaven would lift the valleys on earth up to the human, to the heavenly valleys. You got it? So now, the shaitan comes in and brings life down. Now, let me ask you a question. We understand that the hug is a communication between heavens and earth. Read Iqra, which we use the names of Allah to understand and explain life and understand life. And then the third thing is the pain. Why is the pain? The pain is to represent the rule that says that, the law of nature that says that no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. So, right. So if pain hurts your feelings, you'll grow up to be a loser. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. Okay? So this is the work of messengers. And elites, lords, are always calling prophets liars because they are obstructing this. The hug was painful to represent the law of nature that says no, that says no pain, no gain. You got that? Okay. So now let's understand how is every prophet is successful?
No.
Some prophets and some messengers did not achieve their purpose. So what happens to them? Allah will destroy the people. Allah will destroy the people. Yes, Allah will destroy the people because of that. Now, there is an interesting story for Prophet Musa alayhi salam, how Allah destroyed the glasses, the Iqra. Iqra means reading and understanding life using the names of Allah. Allah has His own ways of destroying the ones who disobey Him. Like the Pharaoh. Guess how Allah would destroy the Pharaoh in a way, very unique way.
Right?
Yes, worse than that.
Like the waves, they come crashing in.
Yes, worse than that. Before Musa was born, then Allah showed a dream to the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh dreamed that one child from the children of Israel is going to grow up and destroy his kingdom.
It was a boy.
Yes. And Allah showed him this dream several nights to make sure, to make him believe that this is true. And then Allah, the reason Allah has made him see that, because Allah wants to tell him, now, Pharaoh, you know how am I going to destroy you? You know how am I going to break your back and destroy you? If you are really a strong God, like you claim, you say, Pharaoh used to say, I am the highest God. So Allah is saying, if you're truly the highest God, then you should be able to stop the plane. So, Allah informed the Pharaoh through a dream that informed the Pharaoh about the plan of destroying him in a dream. You got it? This is the unique way. Usually Allah surprises. Usually Allah surprises the people. The people, it is a surprise to them. It is a surprise to them that that they get destroyed as a surprise. But for like they don't get to know it until it happens, like the flood and the yell of the angel and all of these things. But in the case of the Pharaoh, because he claimed to be the highest God, Allah wanted to destroy him using a unique way. What was that way? Is to tell him the dream, and to tell him in the dream the plan that Allah has for them, and then challenge him to stop it. Then Allah challenged the Pharaoh to stop it. So, guess what happens? Go ahead.
He kills all the baby boys.
Yeah. So, when he heard that, what did he do?
He killed all the baby boys.
Yes. He said, okay, I'm going to kill every baby boy that comes out of the children of Israel. Every Hebrew baby boy.
No, Hebrew is only Jewish.
Jewish, yeah. Every Hebrew. Every Hebrew baby boy. So the girls will keep them alive. Okay. So he, to stop the plan, the Pharaoh ordered the murder, the killing of every Hebrew baby boy. So now, what happens? So what happens is that the Egyptians told the Pharaoh, now you're killing all baby boys, we have a problem. What was that problem? Exactly. No more slaves. You drying, we don't have enough slaves. We want the Hebrews to give birth to children so that,
they can be a slave.
Yes, exactly. They grow up to be slaves. So then the Pharaoh, what did the Pharaoh do to fix that?
Every other year.
Takbir, yes. So the Pharaoh said, every other year I am going to send a prophet. I'm sorry. Every other year I am going to kill the baby boys. Okay? So now, do you think Musa was born in the year where the Pharaoh spares baby boys?
Yes.
No.
Huh? I've completely ruined the whole plot.
Yeah, no, actually, what happens is that Allah wanted to even challenge the prophet, the Pharaoh more. So, Egyptians were running out of Hebrew slaves, so the Pharaoh ordered the slaughter in 1 year and spared in another year. Or slaughtered in every other year. So, now do you think that Allah will take advantage of the year where the Pharaoh spares baby boys to bring Prophet Musa? No. Allah wanted to challenge the Pharaoh at a level even more than that. So Musa was born in a year where the Pharaoh kills baby boys. Who was born on a year that where the baby boys are spared?
Musa.
Harun. Got it? So now, Musa alayhi salam was born. Now Allah wants to protect Musa from killing. So he made it in such a way that when you look at the mother of Prophet Musa, what happens? It's so small that you can't believe she's pregnant. Got it? Got that? So that tiny little baby is not making the mom tummy big, but he is, you know, like you look at the mommy, you can never tell she's pregnant, even
she's
in the
lame.
Nun's month. Yes.
But how? I mean, how many is pregnant, even if it's the smallest? It's like, you're like this big compared to a normal size.
Yeah, that's how Allah.
But wouldn't that affect the baby? Like, when the baby become premature or have undeveloped body parts?
No, actually it came out to be the smartest and the strongest baby you can ever imagine. And that's the miracle. This is the work of Allah. Harun 4, for Allah to insult the Pharaoh, Allah chose to bring Musa in the year where the Pharaoh slaughters baby boys. His brother Harun was born in the year where the Pharaoh spares baby boys. So now, there's no way you look at her and see that she's pregnant. I mean, it's impossible. Okay? So now, by the ninth month, when she's ready for labor, Allah tells her, you know how Allah tells her? Allah reveals the idea in her mind. Allah reveals the idea where? In the mind. So Allah revealed an idea to her, which is revelations, which is what? Is to get out of the city, get out of the town, and? No, hide. And then deliver the baby while hiding. Now remember that when she does that, she is delivering the baby without a midwife or without any assistance. What are we talking about?
Oh, didn't she have two other sons? I mean, a daughter and a son.
Yeah, the daughters are not killed. Harun was in a year where the Pharaoh was sparing baby boys.
No, but didn't she have kids that helped her?
Yes, that's... No. They wanted to make it very secret. So she disappeared for a couple of days and come back. Okay. When she comes back, she's not carrying Musa. Because the spies of the Pharaoh are so many. Even within the Hebrew community. Like a lot of people were spying to the favor of the Pharaoh, spying on the Hebrew in exchange of money.
How did she hide him? Did she like put him in a basket or?
Yeah, I'm coming to that. Okay. So now the baby boy is out there. If she goes with him back, then she is doomed. Then Allah made the mother of Prophet Musa. The mother of Prophet Musa, Allah made the mother of Prophet Musa appears to be non-pregnant. So now Allah tells her something very weird. Guess what this weird thing? He says, give Musa a very big meal from your breast. Give Musa a very, very big meal from your breast. Why? Because Musa is going to stay for a long time without food. So, and then put him in a box and throw the box in the river, in the Nile River. Now imagine, you say, Ya Allah, I'm afraid my son is going to be killed. Allah tells you, put him in a box and throw him in the river. Does that... You know, if somebody tells you that other than Allah, then what is going to... Would you believe that you should do that?
Yeah, no, I'd say, are you out of your freaking mind?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, hey, what are you talking about?
Crazy.
Yes, this is a stupid, crazy idea. But, you know, Allah has revealed in the heart of Musa, the mother of Musa, Allah has revealed in her heart that she will have her baby back. She will have her baby back, and she will be the one who raises her baby. Guess what happened? The box was in the river, and Allah commanded the river to carry the box to the balconies of the Pharaoh's palace. She delivered Musa far away from home. Okay, so now the mother of the wife of the Pharaoh has a problem. What was that problem? She could not bring children. She could not bring children.
Oh, so she's infertile.
Yes, exactly. So what happens is that she was like dying for a baby. So the box was carried to the balcony, or like the patio of the Pharaoh. The patio of the Pharaoh was like facing the Nile River. It was facing it, actually. Part of it was under the water surface. This is how, like, fancy his house was. So now this box went into this port, into this porch or patio. Now the mother of the servants hold the box. Oh my God, it's a gorgeous, adorable boy. So the mother of Prophet, the wife of the Pharaoh, as soon as she looked at Prophet Musa, she loved him. She loved him so much. She loved him so much. Then this is another help from Allah, because the wife of the Pharaoh could happen that the wife of the Pharaoh may not love Musa. And then what is going to happen? Yeah, she's going to give him to the guards to kill or whatever. Dismiss him, something like that. Give him to anybody. Do one of these things. But she fell in love with him. Now the Pharaoh finds out. So the Pharaoh now recognizes this is the plan. Okay? So the Pharaoh wanted to kill the baby boy. The Pharaoh wants to kill the baby boy. So guess what happened? Allah put the love of Prophet Musa in the heart of the wife of the Pharaoh. She said, over my dead body. Over my dead body. And she would always intimidate the Pharaoh. Anytime the Pharaoh says, oh, kill this boy, she tells him, are you afraid of him? You, the highest God, afraid of this little tiny baby? Are you so weak like that? Then his arrogance tells him, no, I'm not killing him. I'm not afraid of him. And in this way, the plan of Allah was progressing, as the Pharaoh have dreamed, exactly. All right? So now, next time, we're going to continue talking about what happens since that day on.